It's NHL Fantasy on Ice, an NHL Studios production with Rob Reese and Pete Jensen.
What's good, everybody? Thursday morning, NHL Fantasy on Ice here to break down the big Jack Eichel trade going from the Buffalo Sabres to one of the true juggernauts of the league, the Vegas Golden Knights. What's going on, guys? Davey Satriano is our guest. Jack Eichel going to the Golden Knights, guys.
Yeah, Davey, what crazy news. I feel like we've all been waiting for this one to drop the past couple months. It's been one of the biggest overarching storylines in the National Hockey League. Woke up this morning nice and early, saw it happen, and I had to refresh the TSN page like five times. I'm like, is this really happening? What do you think, Davey?
I think Jack Eichel also had to refresh the page. You know, you guys got 1,500,000 listens, and I think Jack Eichel was probably listening to the last couple of times too, saying, where am I going to end up? When is this going to end? Good for Jack Eichel. Once he has his surgery, he'll be in the lineup for Vegas. They get their center. So all is right for the Golden Knights.
All can be right for sure when they get healthy. That's what the big takeaway is for me, right, guys? I mean, when this team gets healthy, they're going to have Jack Eichel centering Max Pacioretty and Mark Stone, forming what you could really say could be the best line in the entire NHL, better than Edmonton's in terms of the overall trio, better than Colorado's by the looks of it so far, and even better than Boston. So there could be a changing of the guard once this team gets healthy, which could be a ways away, guys, right? Like, Eichel's still going to have surgery, most likely. That's the sound of it. It's probably going to be another multiple months and a second half return, if they're lucky, for Eichel to come back this season. But I mean, this has to be the favorite to win the whole thing, assuming that this team is going to get healthy for the right time of year. They're going to have to form some chemistry, right, Robbie? But I mean, on paper, you can't get much better than a top line of that.
Well, let's look at it this way. I mean, Eichel in Buffalo didn't really have elite goal scorers on either side of him, right? And then let's look at the other guys on that line. Mark Stone in Ottawa, when he was great with them, like, he never had a premier number one center to play with. And even Max Pacioretty, dating back to the Montreal Canadiens, never really had a number one center. And yet Max Pacioretty and Mark Stone, when they were in the lineup and they were healthy, they were both ripping it up for Vegas. So now you add in Jack Eichel, who, Davey, I mean, obviously there is that lingering injury concern. When it's a neck injury, you probably take it with a little bit more, you know, of a serious light than maybe somewhere else. But nonetheless, I think Eichel, if we project him to come back 100% healthy, I mean, you have to think that this is, you know, multi-point games for all these players, you know, every other night here for this Vegas squad.
Yeah, this wasn't a short-term fix. Like, we need this guy in the lineup now, because clearly they know he needs the surgery. He's hurt. But this could be like a Nikita Kucherov thing from last year, right? The guy, just have him have the surgery, let Jack Eichel come back in the playoffs. I mean, we know what he does. Vegas, you mentioned the top line, you know, now that we know about Smith and Marchessault, and that the second line Carlson they have, but now I think also Chandler Stephenson can go, you know, third line, where he's been more accustomed to playing. Not that he didn't do, you know, hasn't done a good job filling in, but that's not where he normally plays. So you get a guy like this on, you know, some depth on the lower lines. And I think once, as you mentioned, they're healthy, they also have some injured defensemen, but once they're healthy, even if Eichel just returns for the playoffs, I think this team would have to, you know, be the clear favorite if they make the playoffs after, you know, the struggles they've had.
I mean, and the Golden Knights gave up a decent amount, but I think they got away scot-free here. Like, I don't think that they really disrupted their roster too much. They gave up Alex Tuch, who's a really strong player, but another guy that was on the injured list since the start of the season. So it's not disrupting anything there. Peyton Krebs, highly touted prospect, has not done much, has not scored a goal in 13 NHL games. He'll go to Buffalo, where he has a chance to get his career going in a more prominent role. But in terms of actually disrupting the roster at hand, that is going to try to get them through the storm of the regular season and then try to win the cup when these guys get back in the lineup, they didn't really have to give up much. They didn't have to give up Theodore. They didn't have to break up that second line. I think it's a big win for Vegas. And they did have to give up the conditional picks, which could maybe bite them a little bit down the road. But this is a win now team that got even stronger and will get even stronger when these guys are all back healthy at the right time.
Robbie, why would you have given up Shea Theodore? Why would you have given up anyone that truly matters, considering right, No one's ever had the surgery and went back and played in the NHL? So, Robbie, I mean, I think the deal is fair for all sides, and it all comes down to, can Jack come back at 85%? If he does, then I think it's a good deal.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think that's a great question too for everybody. Like, what do we see Jack's ceiling being with the Vegas Golden Knights? If we're projecting an 82-game season, is this a 110-point player? I mean, maybe, right? It's definitely feasible if he's in the lineup. But I think to your point, Bob, too, like with Buffalo, I don't mind the trade too much for them. Like, I saw a tweet this morning, and it was a nice reminder, their prospect pool, Owen Power, Peyton Krebs, Jack Quinn, JJ Paterka, Ryan Johnson, Isaac Rosen, right? The list goes on and on. So they are building something there. I think the return could have been a little bit better. We saw Calgary was rumored to be giving up Matthew Tkachuk in a potential trade, which would have been ludicrous. But nonetheless, like, I'm not going to criticize this from the Sabres perspective, because I think the writing has been on the wall there, unfortunately, just for far too long. And if this is the best offer that came along, Davey, they had to do it.
You're right. They had to do it. I mean, you said they got the picks, they got a couple of prospects, and you know what, we know, as you know, the last, what, 10 years, they haven't made the playoffs. They've done what, they've added players. They've had two number one picks, Eichel, you know, Rasmus Dahlin, but really they get two more picks for the future. They'll see what they have in some of these young guys. You know, Power will play next year, and they're, you know, they're having a decent start, but they seem to do this every year. So if you're a Sabres fan, obviously you knew this was going to happen for a while. You're not happy with the way it ended, but you know what? You just got to move on and say, we got a couple picks, we got a couple more prospects, and you know, let's just build from here.
And a lot of those Buffalo prospects like Quinn and Paterka, those guys are playing really well in Rochester in the AHL, just to touch on them a little more, because I think that they're building something in the right direction, like you guys are alluding to. And I think that that's going to be important in convincing Power to join the Sabres, right? That might not be a cakewalk in doing so, but now that the Eichel saga is officially over, and they've had a great start to the season, by the way. So when Alex Tuck eventually comes back, and you know, if Krebs takes on a big role, like, they could actually be building something here and now to sustain their success so far this season. And then down the road, it could get even better. And re-signing Dahlin and in the offseason was another big step for them in the midst of this dysfunction, you could say, that's been going on. I think it's sad that Jack Eichel never played a game under Don Granato. When we were looking back at that, it didn't overlap at all. So, you know, you wonder what could have been, especially the way that team's playing under that coach. But overall, good to see this dysfunction end for Buffalo. Hopefully they could right the ship soon.
And how to treat this in fantasy right now, I would say, obviously, you have to stash Jack Eichel if you have IR plus, and you can add him without dropping anybody. It's a no-brainer. If you'd have to drop somebody, I would not do it. It's not worth it. If it's going to be projected 4 months, like Darren Dreger said it's going to be, you're not going to get anything value-wise for that. But I think the more interesting thing is to kind of go back and say, if Jack Eichel would have been with the Vegas Golden Knights to start the season, and you're in your preseason fantasy draft, I think it's fair to say that he'd be a top 10 pick consensus in almost every format.
I think you're right. He definitely would be a top 15 guy. 10, you might just say, well, you know, we even if he had had the surgery, you know, I'm not sure how it's going to be to start out, but playing with those guys who he's with, I think he's what, a point per game guy for his career, right? He's got like, I think he's, you know, right about there. So what do you have, 82 points or something in his last full NHL season, something like that. So I agree with you. You know, if he's there for a full season, he's getting 100 points. So something to look forward to next season, hopefully when he's fully healthy. And we'll see when he comes back this season. I think it'll be in towards March, April, the playoffs. You know, there's no real need to rush him back. So we'll see, but it's going to be exciting.
And Petey, how great is it that McDavid and Eichel are going to be playing in the same division with all those interdivisional games throughout the regular season?
That's a great point, right? They can meet up in the second round, potentially, in that Pacific division. That would be something to see. And then, of course, we're still going to be talking about Vegas, Colorado down the road at some point, probably in the postseason. But yeah, first things first, Vegas is going to have to withstand this tumultuous start. And of course, having some of their best players out of the lineup. But yeah, Jack Eichel, one big takeaway for me, this guy's a finisher, right? His last full season, 36 goals in 68 games. That was in the COVID shortened season. I mean, that's like a 45, 50 goal type ceiling that he has playing with those guys, Pacioretty and Stone. I just think back to that one playoff round. I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago where Vegas had that top line that was the league leaderboard in scorers, right? It was like Pacioretty, Stone, and Paul Stastny. I mean, when you talk about Paul Stastny, even at that stage in his career, was not even close to what Jack Eichel could provide. So you could very well see in standard formats moving forward, maybe start of next year, you could see these three Vegas guys littered among the top 20 to 25 overall players. And then keeper leagues, a lot of people have been asking about him. How high is the ceiling? Top 10, top 15? How does he stack up with some of these other elite point producers? I do think that you can say, Rob, right, with confidence, that Eichel is like a top five center in the NHL in keeper leagues. And you know, with those top flight centers, you want to get one of them. So that means he's top 10 overall in the longer term formats.
I would take him top 10 in a keeper league. I think he's right up there, maybe ahead of like a Sasha Barkov, ahead of a Sebastian Aho, who are tremendous players. But I like the intrigue a little bit more with Eichel, just because we haven't seen that team. When he was with Buffalo, they were obviously horrible. We haven't seen them hit any sort of offensive stride. Vegas will do that instantaneously when he's in the lineup. So I like that, you know, trajectory for him. And then a few other notes here, I would just say, is the ripple effect, which is one of the best things in fantasy. You know, look at Shea Theodore. He is going to be, you know, a 50-point floor guy moving forward. Pietrangelo is probably going to be right around there as well, with better category coverage in fantasy than Shea Theodore. And then Robin Lehner, you know, he's going to have to right the ship, as you alluded to earlier, this season. But moving forward, he should be a solid, you know, slam dunk as the number two guy in fantasy at the position behind the Andrei Vasilevsky effect in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, the last thing I'll say on this is that I think there's so much less pressure on him now. He actually has talent around him, so he doesn't have to worry about putting it all on his shoulders. You know, in Buffalo, he's been doing his Jim Mora impersonation. Playoffs. We just want to win games. Now he goes to Vegas. It'll be nice to see him when he gets to his playoffs for the first time. I remember a few years ago, Taylor Hall took him like 6-7 seasons, you know, number one pick. And we haven't seen that from Jack Eichel. So I'm looking forward to seeing him in the playoffs whenever that happens.
Hopefully get to see a happier Jack Eichel, right? Like when I think of his Buffalo tenure, I think of an odd man rush going the other way and him looking all dejected after, and his face all red because he's been working his tail off for 20 plus minutes in the game, and the team just didn't support him. Of course, around him that one year, Jeff Skinner scored 40 goals, then cashed in, then took it down a notch, unfortunately, for the Sabres. But yeah, hopefully we can see Jack Eichel kind of like return to that form that we were just thinking he was going to be such a promising player, and now he's just been kind of a fantasy afterthought. But as recently as 2 years ago, after that one, you know, before that one season I was talking about, he was like a top 10, top 15 overall draft pick in fantasy leagues. So this is definitely a breath of fresh air for his career moving forward.
So let's turn ahead to some fan questions. We'll start with one from Benoit Brulé that does include the Vegas Golden Knights. He asks Kopitar and Pacioretty or Lindholm and Nylander in a points only league. Which way are you leaning now, Davey?
I would probably lean towards Kopitar. I know this might sound, you know, you think, oh, it's the Kings, they're not going to score, but I like what I've seen out of them. You said it was Lindholm, and who was the other?
And Nylander. So Elias Lindholm, right. And William Nylander.
I mean, I got some questions too about how is Lindholm going to pick it up? Like, how's it going to work? But Nylander, I don't think you have to worry about. Rob, you were on this like 5 years ago. You're like, before the contract, you're like, he's going to break out. And, you know, he finally did. But to me, I think if you can get the Kopitar, that's who I would want. I have him. My league, of course, has everything, you know, face off. So I take that. But I think you'd be surprised with those two guys.
Davey in a face-offs league. You got to love it. I think that Elias Lindholm, a lot of people were talking about sell high candidates in our mailbag questions for this show. I'll tie it into this Vegas trade for sure. Certainly sell high on Elias Lindholm for the Flames, who just missed out on Eichel. That's a big blow to them. Just let's face it. And then I think, yeah, Lindholm's a sell high candidate to get a guy like Pacioretty or Stone, even while they're injured. And then on the other side, I would go ahead and buy low on Robin Leonard for the reasons Robbie was talking about. I would even try to sell, you know, a Mikko Koskinen, who's looking really good right now for the Oilers, but Mike Smith is going to come back. I would sell an Elias Lindholm to get Robin Leonard. That's what I'm thinking right now, is that I want in on the Golden Knights and I want to cash out on some of these hot starters around the league. And another one is Roman Josi. Like, I don't think the Predators are going to be a playoff team, even though they've been competitive, surprisingly competitive, like they always are. But Roman Josi is another sell high candidate. But yeah, try to tie it into this Vegas trend, and it always makes it more exciting on the trading front in fantasy.
So, you know, kind of going off the sell high note is Mikko Koskinen. We ranked him 10th overall in our latest edition of the top 25 goalie rankings on NHL.com/fantasy. And a lot of people were saying, oh, do you think he can keep it up, or why is he top 10? Well, look at his stats, number one. I mean, he's been tremendous so far this season. He's definitely deserving of that position right now. And Edmonton looks like a Stanley Cup contender. They don't just look like a playoff team. They look like they want to hoist that trophy for Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. So I would say this for Koskinen, and I'm not selling high on an Edmonton goalie right now. I don't care if you have Mike Smith, hold on to him too. It could be a 50-50 split here, Goalie Master. And I know you usually have good intuition on how that's going to break down, but let's just go back. Look at Koskinen. He was actually a second round draft pick, first overall in the second round. I guess that was probably 31st or 32nd, you know, when it was 2009 or 2010, whenever he was picked. But he has pedigree, and like, he just needed to figure it out and get going. I like Koskinen, Davey. I am not letting him go off my fantasy squad.
Yeah, well, first things first, you mentioned Mike Smith. He's actually supposed to come back. He might start tomorrow. So he's back. He'll start tomorrow. I think it's been, what, six straight starts for Koskinen, and he's 5-1, 6-1, whatever it is. But you're right. He's done very well. And last year, we know how Smith had this resurgence where he's 38 years old and he had, you know, a great season. Could have been a Vezina, probably was like a top five the way he performed for them. But I think this is the new NHL. You need two goalies. You don't want to overwork any. You know, Vasilevsky's kind of in his, and Hellebuck, they're like in their own class pretty much. But if you're right, I would hold on to Koskinen. Even if Smith comes back, they got back to backs. He's going to start, and Tippett's probably going to go with who's ever the hot hand. And there's no reason, you know, Mike Smith, if he's healthy, will be back tomorrow just because he's back. But I think the numbers Koskinen's putting up, we know the offense, Edmonton, just every night they're scoring. The power play's great. They're not really allowing goals. So to me, Koskinen is a guy that I would hold on to. I wouldn't even sell high on him. I would say this is a guy that can help you win matchups and, you know, definitely when you need it in down the line for fantasy playoff time.
Right. That's definitely what has changed about Edmonton in a matter of a month or so, right? We kind of always viewed them as a flawed team to their core, even beyond their superstar players. But now they've become a very safe team in fantasy. And even if you're going to say that Koskinen is going to take a step back because Smith returns, there's a really good chance that could turn into a top 10 goalie tandem and remain there for the rest of the season. So that's why, even if he is a 1A or a 1B at worst case scenario, Koskinen is in his contract year. There's definitely some newfound intrigue in that player. I mean, coming into the year, I don't even think he was in our top 200 overall or top 250, to be frank, but things change very quickly. And all of a sudden Edmonton is viewed in a different class.
I'm all good with Koskinen as long as he doesn't try to handle the puck, because anytime he tries to handle the puck, it ends up in a total disaster. So just stay in your crease, do what you do, let McDavid, Draisaitl, let them do what they do. 5 goals a night, puck line Oilers, just like the puck line Panthers, but Koskinen, stay in your crease.
And I just want to say too, I think about Edmonton with Evan Bouchard now playing like 23 plus minutes a game. This back end is a lot better, I think, than people are even giving it credit for now. So that really is, I think, a good futures bet as well. That Edmonton, you know, maybe you take a shot on them to win the Stanley Cup. I mean, when we look at Calgary versus Edmonton, both teams are playing well, but I mean, call me crazy, but I'm way more intrigued by Edmonton's ceiling than I am with Calgary's playing under Daryl Sutter.
Yeah, I don't think come playoff time, Andrew Mangiapane is going to score, you know, a goal every night. So guy was, what, 7 goals. He was towards the goal leaders. I think it's been like 3 or 4 without a goal now. So you're right. Edmonton, to me, if those two went head to head, I mean, there's no question. I know last year in the playoffs, McDavid, when they got swept, what do you have, like 1 assist or 2 points, whatever it was. But this year looks different. If I had to choose, I would take Edmonton over Calgary, though I'd love to see them in the playoffs because that'd be pretty great series.
It would. And yeah, certainly the Hyman addition also kind of trends toward the playoff success that we were hoping for Edmonton each of the past 2 years. Both of them were a flop, but having a player with physicality, scoring pop, and some leadership for sure will also be a big layer for Edmonton to add this postseason, if and when they get there. You mentioned the Florida Panthers, Bob, for the puck line prowess, you could say. I mean, that team is a total wagon right now. They have the best goalie tandem in the league. I'm glad that me and Rob drafted them as a tandem in our joint league, Bobrovsky and Knight. But a lot of fan questions today are asking, should I cut Spencer Knight? Should I trade him away? Should I be patient with him? Because Sergei Bobrovsky in those rankings that you mentioned, Rob, is up to top five. I mean, who would have expected that? So Goalie Master, what are your thoughts on Bobrovsky? Does he keep this up, or does Knight eventually close the gap on Bobrovsky?
I think, you know, when you look at Knight's numbers there, I think his goals against average is under two. His save percentage is like 930, whatever. And yet Bobrovsky's numbers are better. So it's not like Knight hasn't been producing when he's played his couple of starts. So if it were me, I don't think you can drop Knight. If it's a keeper league, clearly you can't. Even if it's not, he's going to get starts. So, you know, obviously before the season, the coach had said, well, Bobrovsky's going to start, which he has, and he's done well. But I think it kind of lit a fire under Bobrovsky, because after last year, he knew, you know, I signed this huge contract, but this kid's playing really well. He's a prospect. I gotta do better. And you know what? They're scoring goals. They're not allowing any goals. He's got defense in front of him. I love watching the Panthers because you're right. You're getting seven goals every night, six goals every night. Always going to hit that over. So you love to see that. But for me, I think Spencer Knight is a guy I would keep. Even if he only gets one start a week, it's probably a win for you with good numbers. And, you know, Bobrovsky's one, you know, tweaked ankle away from Spencer Knight taking this thing over. So for me, no, I'm not dropping Spencer. It's not like he's a backup like Brian Elliott that's never going to play. So for me, Spencer Knight, you got to hold on to the kid.
Well, and Bobrovsky's one bad game away from Spencer Knight getting the next start. And if Knight plays well in that next start, they might just ride him until he cools off. So I would say I agree with Davey 100% here. And I've said this before, but it is a lot like Sorokin last year. If you were patient with him in fantasy, he helped win you your championship. You just need to hang on to guys like that. I think if you ask me on the other side, like, is Jeremy Swayman worth holding on to for Boston in a kind of similar situation, I would be more likely to cut the cord there than on a guy like Spencer Knight, who has just shown he has incredible pedigree. And I think when you look at the Panthers too, like, Aaron Ekblad is the number one defenseman this year in fantasy by a mile. I mean, he's incredible. Put something on him to win the Norris. But to keep it a little bit more granular here, the matchup that Florida has Thursday night against the Washington Capitals, they are starting Bobrovsky, and Bob has gotten absolutely destroyed by Washington in his career. So just, you know, instead of going out and dropping Knight today and making a move, you might just want to hang in there and wait it out a little bit longer.
I have Spencer Knight on two of my three teams. And I would even consider getting aggressive in my third league where I don't have him. If I have someone like Elvis Merzlikins or someone that's starting hot that could be a sell high candidate, and the person in my league is trying to unload Spencer Knight because he's the clear 1B behind Bobrovsky, that could certainly be, like, at any point in the season, like Rob said, it could switch to a 50-50 or even tilt in Knight's favor on a dime at any point. So that's my thinking in trying to pursue Spencer Knight if I don't already have him, because I do think the ceiling for him, I mean, look at the top rookies right now. Even if you're talking about on the futures market, the top rookies right now are the guys in Detroit, like Raymond and Sider. If that team falls off, who's winning the Calder this year? Could it be a Spencer Knight with 20-25 wins and a 930 save percentage? It certainly could be, because, right, Zegras has been a little underwhelming. Cole Caulfield's in the AHL, for God's sake. So I think that certainly Spencer Knight's ceiling remains as high as we thought it was. It's just off to a little rocky start because he's not getting the playing time. But I think that could quickly change.
What about a buy low guy in Darcy Kemper of the Colorado Avalanche? I mean, if you watch their game Wednesday against Columbus, I think this is the Avs season in a nutshell. They get off to a two-goal lead, and then they give up four unanswered goals and have to play their tails off just to get this thing to overtime where Columbus wins the game. And you're like, if you've watched Colorado all this season, they've been playing topsy-turvy. They don't look like that dominant team we've seen the past few regular seasons. So if I was looking at the goalie market, I would shy away right now from going out and trying to get Darcy Kuemper.
I believe if we go back and check the tapes, a goalie master said Darcy Kuemper was someone he would not draft because he did not see what everyone said about this guy being a Vezina favorite, despite the team. I know they had some injuries and some health issues, but you know what? You're right. This team is not playing as they should. If I had Kuemper now on my team, I would probably sell high because someone's going to want him, even though, you know, he's not playing well, you know, he's got the pedigree. So for me, I'm glad I stayed away from him. I know, yes, things will turn around, but I wasn't that high on him to begin with. And you mentioned if it were a choice between him and Mikko Koskinen, you know, before the season, you would have said this is a no-brainer. But you know what? Right now, I bet you're wishing instead of drafting Kuemper in the third or fourth round, you got Koskinen on your waiver wire. So, you know, I think I agree with what you said. They're not playing well in front of him. Yeah, things will change, but I would sell high on Darcy Kuemper.
Davey, we have the receipts too. Put in the request. We'll pull the receipts. I mean, you said it. You were not a fan of Kuemper. Pete was a big fan of Kuemper. And listen, long way to go. Colorado will right the ship, I believe.
Right. I think Rob alluded to it on a previous show, like, or maybe you did, Bob. It's almost better now that like Vegas is the favorite. Colorado has to work out its injury situation right now, like day-to-day Mikko Rantanen, day-to-day Cale Makar, day-to-day Andre Burakovsky. You already know that defense has dealt with a couple of blows and Gerard's back, but Taves is still out. So let them figure that out on the fly. As far as their coach, I don't know if a coaching change is needed there. It's certainly going to be a possibility if this team continues to struggle in the regular season, even when these guys get back healthy. So just things to keep an eye on with the Avalanche. But now I would not consider the Avalanche the favorite anymore to win the Stanley Cup. I mean, I would put Vegas ahead of them because they'll probably get Eichel back on time and the other two guys. And then, of course, like Tampa would beat Colorado in a 7-game series without question right now. So I think that they're the third or fourth best team in the league. They got to sort out some issues, but there's a lot of time to do it, thankfully, for them.
And I like buying low on the Colorado Avalanche in terms of like futures plays, and it might be good for them, like you said, to go through the adversity and kind of learn how to win in these weird ways. But in terms of Darcy Kuemper, like that's one I don't have a good feeling about right now. I would look at Pavel Francouz, who should be back in the next few weeks, returning from another injury for him. You know, maybe stash him if you want to get ahead of that trend. But something you and I were talking about, Petey, recently, I think you brought it up when we were in the office the other day, like they probably should consider going out and getting like a Marc-Andre Fleury type player. And I think that's exactly what Colorado needs. You know, it's not maybe really the coaching. It's not really the injury bug. They just might need that one extra good veteran kind of star in the locker room to take a little bit of pressure off of Nathan MacKinnon's shoulders to be like everything for that franchise. So I would hope that they can maybe swing something like that prior to the trade deadline this year.
I mean, we saw what they did last year, right? They got Devan Dubnyk and they got the guy from the Sabres, Johansson, and, you know, that didn't work out as backups for them. So you're right. This is a problem. And 2 years ago, they had both of their goalies were injured. Grubauer was injured and Pavel Francouz. So that's why when they ran into the Stars, you know, they had a third string. I think it was Hutchinson was playing for them. So you're right. This has been a problem for them. Don't want MacKinnon to do everything. It's kind of good. I agree that they're not looked at now as favorites because we know all the pressure that happens that's put on the shoulders. So yeah, get a couple of veteran guys, especially a goaltender would help. And you're right. Then they would be right up there.
The ice time of their top forwards in Colorado makes me worry. I mean, first off, Makar playing with an injury. We knew he had an injury in the training camp. He's playing 25 minutes a game. That's not going to help an injury. Then Landeskog, Rantanen, and MacKinnon each playing between 21 and 22 minutes a game as forwards. And then even JT Compher, who you could say has been performing as their fourth best forward, but is maybe more like their fifth or sixth best forward. He's playing close to 20 minutes a game, JT Compher. So hit the waiver wire, pick up Compher. Me and Robbie did earlier in the week. He is among the league leaders in multi-point games. He's got 4 multi-point games, had another point yesterday. So JT Comfort quietly becoming must roster guy because he's really shouldering a heavy workload for this Avalanche team, and the depth concerns are not going away. I mean, Vegas may be a little more top heavy now that they have Eichel, but they're also just as deep, if not deeper, than the Colorado Avalanche.
So a couple questions here we got about Cole Caufield. He was sent down to Laval Rocket of the American Hockey League. One I thought encapsulated it pretty well. It just said, are you concerned about Cole Caufield? Yes, I am concerned about Cole Caufield, but I think, you know, when we zoom out a little bit here, and the reception on Twitter to him getting sent down was very negative towards the player, which I would disagree with entirely. It should be directed more towards the Canadians and their management coaching. For Cole Caufield, I mean, look at Alexis Lafreniere. What did he do in his rookie season? Nothing. What did Kaapo Kakko do? Nothing. Jack Hughes, Davey, sorry to say it, but he could not score his rookie season, right? And they arguably all had probably better situations than this Habs team that's hanging on for dear life right now. So yes, concerned about Cole Caufield in the immediate future. Don't press the panic button in a keeper league. But I like what I've seen from Montreal the past few games. I actually re-added Nick Suzuki off the waiver wire. I had dropped him. Someone else claimed him, dropped him. I got him back. And I'm going to ride that train for a little while. Now, Cole Caufield, yeah, you got to cut the cord with him if he's not going to play games. But don't be worried about him in a dynasty format.
Well, here's the thing. You mentioned they've struggled. What do they have? 2 wins, 3 wins in like 10 games, whatever it is. So guy like Nick Suzuki, who, you know, was struggling, you picked him back up. You can't send him to the AHL. So Cole Caufield, you know, we're struggling. We need to do something. He's not doing well. We'll send him. There's a lot of guys in the Canadians who aren't playing well. Caufield was probably just took the brunt of it because it was easier to have him go down. You know, we know he'll be back up. So I agree with you. Right now, yes, you can't roster him because unless you have an NA slot in your league. But if not, he's going down to the AHL. We know he's going to rip it up there. I think he scored in his first whatever it was. So he'll be back and, you know, we'll reassess when he's back in a month or however long it is.
I take issue with them sending Cole Caufield down. I mean, this team had too much riding on Carey Price. I mean, it sounds like Carey Price could come back in the near future, which is a good sign. We hope he's doing well and that he could get back on track off the ice. And then, of course, you know, help the Canadians rebound over the course of the season whenever he does return to the lineup. But yeah, I think that Caufield is kind of, we were talking about it in the preseason and in the offseason episodes. We were saying, what's his category coverage going to be like? What's his floor going to be like? They had the protection around him last year in the playoffs, and things were going too swimmingly for everybody. And I think they overachieved, and then they got maybe a little too confident in the offseason. They should have brought Philip Deneau back. They shouldn't have made some of these deals over the years, giving 7-year contract to Josh Anderson. I mean, there were so many moves that the Canadians made over the years that we were critical of, including Sergachev and all these other ones. And it's like, it's catching up to them now. And then it's like, they're blaming Cole Caufield and sending this kid down to the AHL. I just disagree with it. And I think that Cole Caufield should be on their top line to stay with Suzuki. And they should try to find the best third guy, third wheel to round out that unit. I would not have sent Cole Caufield to the AHL. I think it's ridiculous.
Right. And what does a player of his caliber learn from playing at the American League? Like, he already came up and played in the NHL playoffs, a total gauntlet, a gulag out there, and he ripped it up. He played well for them, right? Playing big time minutes on the top line. So it just doesn't really make sense either. And I know I was critical of Lafreniere, Kaapo Kakko, and Hughes in their rookie seasons, but they had valuable experience just by learning that the NHL is a very tough place. You can't get away with 70% effort. You've got to be hard every single shift, like the old cliches, right? So I think Caufield really would have just benefited from staying up. And sure, you know, a lot of people would be dropping him in fantasy, but at least for his development's sake, I think he'd learn a heck of a lot more playing at Bell Center than playing for Laval.
So what do we think Jesperi Kotkaniemi is feeling right now, right? He wanted to stay there and they got the offer sheet, and now he's on a team that's 9-0. So, you know, that was also, Pete, you mentioned the things that they did wrong. I mean, that was a little bit out of their hands, although they did have a factor in that because of what they did previously. So that was also a miss for them.
Yeah, I mean, that remains to be seen how that'll play out, but it's been a nice destination for Kokkaniemi for sure. And yeah, the Hurricanes have been a great story so far, right? Like Tony DeAngelo, reclamation project, top 10 fantasy defenseman right now in our rankings. You see Svechnikov, top 10 overall. You see Aho right on his tail, one of the best duos in the league. They're playing those guys together again, happily ever after. And then, you know, the goalie, Frederik Andersen, rivals or has been even better than what guys like Markstrom has done and what Shesterkin has done. Nobody's been better than Freddie Andersen so far. So how does this start for the Hurricanes change your opinion, guys, of the Hurricanes, like futures appeal? Because I know I picked them to make the Cup final last year. I was really disappointed in that team in the second round when they played the eventual champion Lightning. I thought they went out with a whimper. But now I think they're back in the Cup conversation again very quickly.
Well, here's the thing. Sorry, Robbie. It's not always that you change one goalie in the offseason or two goalies. No, they got rid of all three of their goalies. Peter Mrazek, James Reimer, Alex Nedeljkovic, the rookie. I was a Calder finalist. They got rid of all three of them. I thought, yes, they're going to make the playoffs, but you know, it wasn't going to be as good as they were last season. Frederik Andersen, we know the injuries. Ranta, we haven't seen much at him. And I was just so shocked that a team that was last season, they were, you know, had to have been a Cup favorite. They lost a lot of pieces too, for, you know, lost Dougie Hamilton even. And yet the three goalies, they didn't even keep one of them. And here they are, they're 9-0, like everything's going well for them. So I'm extremely surprised. I thought they'd make the playoffs, but I thought it would be a little bit of a struggle, especially with no Dougie Hamilton and, you know, two new guys in net who have been injured. But I mean, this is, I think this is a very big surprise to me personally. I did not see this coming.
Tony D, what's the deal? One year, 1 million. That's got to be the best deal this year. I mean, that's unbelievable, Robbie.
Bob, listen to this stat line. He's played 9 games. He's got 10 points, 2 goals, 8 assists, a plus 11. And he's only playing 17 minutes per game. Pete mentioned earlier, Davey, it was that the league is heading towards a two-goalie system. I think the league is also heading towards these insulated power play type specialists. And Tony D, I'm going to go down on the record saying this, can run a power play as good as Dougie Hamilton can, Davey. This guy can sauce it with anybody. He's got 5 power play points. And the fact that they're insulating like him like that makes his skill set shine even better. He's got multiple shots per game in that span as well. Actually played 21 minutes last night, so maybe Brendan Moore trusts him a little bit more defensively. But definitely big nod to Tony D for a nice bounce back for him. And then I do have a bone to pick with Waiver Wire James saying that he wouldn't draft Frederik Andersen this year. I mean, that has to, whatever bad takes have been made on the show ain't coming close to that one on Freddie James.
Well, I mean, what are James's teams looking like if he hates Dougie Hamilton and Frederik Andersen? I mean, is he higher than the basement in his leagues? I mean, I don't know.
I know James has a good keeper pool, so I'm sure he's not in the basement in that one. But yeah, certainly things have changed really quickly with the Hurricanes, man. You could have really looked at, you know, some of the players they lost in the offseason. Good to see Jake Bean have a big performance against the Avalanche in that game you were mentioning earlier, Robbie, with 2 goals, including the winner. But yeah, there were so many moving pieces going out. But I remember John Isner when I messaged him about those negative changes. He was actually surprisingly confident at the time. He was a big fan of Freddie, thought that he would face a lot less pressure and heat, which he kind of got for not no reason, because they never got out of the first round. But I thought a lot of that was unfair over the years directed at Freddie when he didn't have a great defense in front of him, even without Hamilton, even without Jake Bean and some of these other moves they made on D. The defense is still steady enough and the forward group is as deep as anybody's. So that's why they're back in the conversation. Like we were saying, you could still look around, probably not considering a guy like Kokkaniemi, but you could get a Jordan Staal, who joined our top 100 forward rankings, really steady, covers hits, covers faceoffs, and a part of that top 9 forward group in Carolina that is really strong. It rivals the depth of the Florida Panthers for the best in the league, I think, for forwards.
I agree. I mean, Svechnikov is having that statement season. I think we all thought he might have last year or the season prior. He's doing it now. So that's paying off big time. And I think, you know, what we were saying about the Canadians kind of making those questionable moves, Carolina certainly made questionable moves this offseason. But the difference between those two franchises is that the talent is immense on Carolina. And when you have guys like Aho in your core, Svechnikov on the back, and you have Slavin on one pair, you have Pesci on another pair, you have Brady Shea who can skate as well as any defenseman in the league, right? You have the flexibility to do that. And for Freddie Anderson, a guy coming from Toronto, who I'm a big Toronto guy, I like to watch that team a lot, but I don't understand any of the criticism that was directed towards him somehow being the scapegoat. Look, when you put him behind a decent defense, he's playing like the best goaltender in the NHL. That's not a coincidence, Davey.
It's not a coincidence, but also the way, for me, it wasn't just the goalies. They had all, they had, I think, five or six, you know, defensemen forwards that from last season that just signed elsewhere. And the guys that they got back, they have a lot of different guys in their bottom six. A couple defensemen that left. So there wasn't just the goalies that they had. Yes, they have Aho, they have Svechnikov, and we know how good those guys are. But I still give some credit to Brendan Moore for the coach, because this team, like I said, I thought, you know, they'll make the playoffs. At this point, I figured that, you know, maybe they'll be like 6-3 or 5-5, but still trying to find their way with the pieces. And they just, they haven't missed a step. Yes, they played the Blackhawks twice, whatever, but all these games haven't been against, you know, the lesser teams. So they've beaten everyone that they've put on their schedule so far. And I think they, since they started the season, like everything's been going well for them.
To circle it back to Montreal, I know I mentioned Price earlier that he could be on the horizon coming back. That's another stash, right? We always talk about stacking teams and players, but I feel like this year we're talking about stashes. We got Kucherov, who could come back in a month or two. We got Stone, Pacioretty, Eichel, who we mentioned earlier, maybe the new best line in the league, all of them stashable. You could trade for them now. You could stash Carey Price. You could stash one of the injured Capitals like Oshie and Backstrom. You could stash Evgeny Malkin. You could stash Jack Hughes. I mean, who are you guys gravitating towards in terms of the stash market? Because I think it is actually a thing right now that you could go out there on the trade market in fantasy and pursue some of these guys, one or more of them in one trade.
I would pursue Nicklas Backstrom aggressively in fantasy. I mean, the Caps team, the fact that they just suffered their first regulation defeat against the Tampa Bay Lightning the other night. I mean, that's ridiculous type stuff with all their injuries to big time point producers for them. So I would try and get Nicklas Backstrom. One more guy I'll add to that list who's returning is Semyon Varlamov. Obviously, you know, him and Sorokin are probably going to be a timeshare. So Sorokin owners, don't panic. He's still going to be a top five, top 10 guy. Your starts will just come down a little bit and you'll just have to pay more attention to your nightly lineup to make sure he's getting a start.
Yeah, for me, I think you mentioned him already. I'm taking Carey Price. I don't know how many people have stashed him because we weren't sure how long he was going to be out. They're struggling. We know how important he is to the team. Last year, even when he was hurt, he got them to the Stanley Cup final. Even if the wins aren't there, which he can steal games, you know, the goals again, he's going to put up good numbers. He's one of the best goalies of, you know, the generation here. Get him back in the lineup. Jake Allen's done a serviceable job. You know, he's been a starter too, but I feel like once he's back, it's going to be a big boost to the team to have their, you know, I guess technically you could say he's their captain, their leader. They got no Shea Weber. Price has been there forever. So to me, if he's available, I'm stashing him for as long as it takes for him to get back.
Yeah, so many good options out there. And one of my favorite things to do stash-wise is to stash someone that's available and not even have to trade for them. Maybe one guy that fits that bill is a guy that could benefit on the other side of the Eichel trade, Alex Tuch. I mean, I mentioned he's not going to be playing for a while after having off-season shoulder surgery, but you could look at him coming back sometime January, February, maybe covering hits for you, maybe being the best player on the Buffalo Sabres, even if they fall out of things here. Alex Tuch is a really nice power forward that I like the fact that the Sabres were able to get him back in return. And I would go out there in a deep league, stash him on my IR if he's not already rostered, and hope that when he comes back, he'll get you some good category coverage for an up-and-coming team.
For sure, Petey, for sure. So thank you to all the listeners. We achieved 1.5 million listens for a show that's just over 2 years old, I believe, is really, really impressive stuff, gentlemen. So big thank you to Davey Satriano. Big thank you to Waiver Wire James Harding. Big thank you to Nick Alberga, our producer Bobby, the Day One crew. You know, got to give them a big shout out. And for anybody still listening after this time, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We're trying to grow this thing to the moon.
You know, I think 1 million of those views were probably listens were probably from me, but they don't ask how, right? So good. You guys have done a great job. I listen even when I'm not on Waiver Wire James. We'll have to pick some bones with him next time we're all on together, but you guys have done a great job. I mean, I don't think I would have won all four of my fantasy leagues last year if it weren't for you guys. Well, actually, I probably would have, but you know, it's okay. you guys help a little bit anyway. So,
well, we certainly wouldn't have gotten to that total without you, Davey. So thanks to you. Thanks to Bob, Rob, of course. And it's been a pleasure hosting this with you. So we'll keep it going. We'll react on Twitter the rest of the day, the rest of the weekend, as we find out more about Jack Eichel's injury timetable. Looking forward to seeing him on the ice at some point this season. It's kind of a renewed storyline that we had been hoping would happen. And it seems like all that drama has finally come to an end, we hope. So again, for Davey, Bob, Rob, this is Pete. We'll talk to you again next Monday for week 5 Waiver Wire Edition. Go back and listen to week 4. Hit us up on Twitter at David Satriano, at Aircheck for the betting stuff, right? And then at NHL Reese and myself, NHL Jensen on Twitter and Instagram. And we'll talk to you next time.